You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Coming here on a Monday morning, school is back in session. The Timberwolves have won a game after a two-game losing skid, and the Cavaliers are going to be in town tonight. Plenty to talk about, and as always, not enough time to discuss everything that we want to. Also, David Naylor is finally back on the show after a couple-week hiatus. He's finally back. We got him to call in. Finally, we get to hear the David Naylor takes that we have so desired long these many weeks.
In here on a Monday, really mixing up everything. How's your holiday, my friend?
It was a good holiday. It was a little bit tainted just because I didn't want to go back to school. This is the last semester. This is, I think, traditionally the hardest semester when you're done with college after a couple short months. This is the hardest one to get back to, but I'm glad to be talking about the Timberwolves. I'm glad to be back in action, at least on Locked On Wolves. So I have that silver lining throughout the rest of this semester.
Perfect.
All right, so the Timberwolves, they did a lot over the weekend. They had the two-game losing streak because they lost to Boston. Our last show was covering and kind of looking forward to the Boston game, which they lost 91-84. Boston's defense really just had control of that entire game. I predicted that the Celtics would win if the Timberwolves were held under 100 points, and they were held far below that. I think the Celtics are 10-0 when they've held teams to under 90 points now. And then they had the win against the Pelicans, 116-98, to kind of get them back on track. I wanted to touch on the Boston Celtics game first. What were your takeaways from that one? I know it was a little bit ago, but I feel like we should hit on it just because it was a pretty premier matchup, one of the primetime games that the Timberwolves get this season. And it was a little, I don't know if discouraging is the right word, because you knew they were going to go into a buzzsaw defense, but it was a really rough-looking offensive showing from the Timberwolves, especially on primetime TV, to come out and kind of lay egg on offense like that. What were your takeaways from this game?
Well, there are negatives to be taken away from it, but really, it was just a really ugly game for both teams. I'm not giving Boston a free pass at all. Their offense was about as bad as it's been all year. Like, they could not hit threes to save their lives all the way until they pulled away in the fourth quarter. That's what led to them pulling away eventually. Because for the longest time in this game, the Timberwolves were the first team to get a lead of more than 5 points. For the entire first half, the teams were within 5 points of each other. And it was mainly because Boston was just bricking shot after shot after shot after shot. Some of them clean looks, but also credit to the Timberwolves' defense, which honestly did, while not a perfect job, a better job than they've been doing in past games, and they continue to trend in a better and better direction on defense, which is good to see. Yeah, things got away from him, and yeah, eventually Boston did start to hit open threes, but I thought that the defensive effort in a lot of ways continues to move in the right direction for Minnesota, but really just a lot of bad, ugly missed shots for both teams. And it was an interesting point. The game was broadcast on ESPN on the halftime show with Michelle Beadle and Paul Pierce and Chauncey Billups talked about the Boston Arena. TD Garden is probably the coldest arena to play in and at floor level in the NBA, which especially with Boston going through that winter storm front they did, they thought that it might be extra cold in the arena. And you saw there was one moment where I saw Taj Gibson really rubbing his hands together before taking a free throw. So I'm betting that the cold might have been cold in the arena, and that might have had something to do with everybody's shots being so off.
I'll tell you who wasn't cold that day. Karl Anthony Towns. Wow. 25 points, 23 rebounds, 2 blocks. It was nice to see on a game where Jimmy Butler didn't hit a shot till I think it was, 6 minutes left in the second quarter. He were his first points. On a day like that, Towns really picking up the slack and being the guy who would have a big night. It was encouraging to see him where he's kind of in that role now. And I think you've really seen him grow over these last couple months. And he's taken a lot of heat really on the chin well, and he's taken a lot of criticism well. And now he's really a main guy on this team, and he can carry the bulk of the workload for the Timberwolves. I know they lost this one, but it was a tight game with the best team in the East, and he was the main guy. Butler did not have a great game, and he was still the primary guy and kept the Timberwolves in it for most of this game. One of the big takeaways I took away, outside of probably Towns having just a phenomenal showing, was the bench for the Celtics really outplayed the bench of the Timberwolves, and that was maybe the biggest story headed out of this game. You had Smart with 18 points, Rozier with 14, and that kind of was the big difference maker, was the bench players for the Celtics as opposed to the Timberwolves and what their bench did.
And credit to Towns, who was phenomenal, as you said, 23 rebounds, a career high in a single game for him, 25 points, very, very good. The problem is that in a lot of ways, especially on the offensive end, that felt a lot like watching 2015-2016 Minnesota, because you've got Towns and nothing else. Like, nothing was falling for Wiggins, nothing was falling for Butler. The rebounding situation, Towns had his best career rebounding game, 23 rebounds in the game. The next highest single rebounding total on the Timberwolves was Gorgui Dieng with 4. And the Timberwolves got out-rebounded in that game by 15 in a game in which Karl-Anthony Towns recorded a career high in rebounds. That is totally unacceptable by the rest of the team, particularly the wings. Wiggins and Butler both had like 3 rebounds, I want to say. And that's just like they got whipped on the offensive glass in the second half. So with every bit of credit that goes to Towns, he's got 4 20-20 games in his career. The Timberwolves are 0-4 when Towns goes 20-20, because every time it feels like nothing else goes right for the Timberwolves when he has a night like this. And it's just one of those things that it's like you'd expect that, and you've got memories of Kevin Love doing the same thing, right? Like, it's just there has to be more balance for this team to do well.
No, definitely. And you mentioned Kevin Love. It smells a little bit, and I'm not accusing Towns of this, but it just brings to memory for Timberwolves fans, I think, the idea of a great player on a bad team grabbing stats. And I'm not saying Towns is doing that, but that's what this game kind of felt like, where you had one player just playing exceptionally well when the rest of his team just did not get off the plane for the majority of the game. Other than that, do we have any other takes on this game? Just kind of came out flat-footed against a really good team in a very cold arena.
Well, and that's the thing, is Boston is a better team than Minnesota. They're one of the 6 teams in the league that is definitively better than the Timberwolves. So for them to lose this game in a way that, like you said when you were introducing this, you kind of expected them to. If Boston's defense holds up, the Timberwolves probably lose this game. That happened. The Timberwolves' defense played well, and they kept it close. But really, like, in Boston against a really good Celtics team playing great basketball, not really a surprise. So take it, move on, learn from it, get better.
Yeah, well, in talking to the host of Locked On, the Locked On Celtics, John Corrales, the kind of the big point that Tom and I, when we were talking with him, had going into the Celtics game was that Boston's just really deep, and so if the Timberwolves defend really well against guys like Tatum or Brown or Irving, they're going to be able to pull guys like Smart and Rozier off the bench, and they're going to have great games. And they play with a 12-man rotation, and the Timberwolves play with what would you say, generous to call it a 7-8-man rotation. I mean, you have so many guys to defend, and Stevens throws so many lineups out there. It's just going to be really hard to stick with this team, because it's hard for them to have a bad night because they have so many players to go to, and that's exactly what happened.
And part of it's not necessarily Minnesota's fault right now. I thought one of the biggest problems for the Timberwolves' offense wasn't necessarily that Boston's defense was great, which it was, but it was also the fact that what is the factor that has made the Timberwolves' offense look the best this year? Tyus Jones at point guard. Tyus Jones was in foul trouble all game long because he couldn't stay with Kyrie Irving. And that is a huge problem when Jeff Teague is out, which he is, because that's where the depth really starts to get hit. Like, the depth with Teague and Tyus in is less glaring, but with Teague out, if Tyus gets in foul trouble, it means lots of Aaron Brooks, and that is not a good thing for the Wolves.
No, yeah. I want to really like Aaron Brooks for some reason, just because I kind of like those under the radar point guards. But he
talk to Dane about Aaron Brooks. Dane will talk about Aaron Brooks all day long.
I don't know if I want to go down that trail because he did not play well, and he hasn't really shown any huge spark for the team. We're gonna take a quick break before we talk about the Pelicans game. It was a desperately needed win, I think. I think that they really needed this win. Two losses to the Nets and then to the Celtics. I would say they really needed this win, and they came out and dominated the Pelicans. I think I've said this to somebody, too. The best-case scenario for the Timberwolves is they play the Pelicans 82 games in a season, I really feel like. Which doesn't make sense.
It's funny because... I've come in expecting them to lose all three of the matches in New Orleans this year, and they've just whipped them all three times. It's so strange.
Well, and you'd think that a team with DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis would be able to take advantage of some of the problems that Towns has shown just on the physicality scale on defense and really hammer home the game in the paint. And I don't think they necessarily have the best roster to beat the guys on the Timberwolves, but you'd think that these games would be closer, and they have just clocked the Pelicans pretty much every time they've played them this season.
So, two things on that. One, Towns dominated both of them last night.
Oh, yeah.
What was that? Like, on Saturday evening, he was definitively the best player of those three on the floor, like, comfortably. Davis was a non-factor in the game. Boogie went out and got about the same stat line, but Towns was just way more impactful with where he was at on the floor all the time. He had another great night. It was almost more impressive than the Boston game. And the other thing is, what is it about the New Orleans Pelicans that turns Gorgui Dieng into a world-beating player every time? Like, his three best games of the year are against the New Orleans Pelicans. All three of them. He's done this every time.
I'll tell you what it is. It's that Louisville-Kentucky rivalry that he gets up for.
I guess, man, but he opened the third quarter on, an individual 8-0 run himself, hitting two straight corner threes. Like, he was playing like a man possessed on offense. It was so weird.
Yeah, he had a great game. Top to bottom, a really good game from the Timberwolves. You had Wiggins with 20 points, and he shot 40%. You had Butler with 21 points and 8 assists, 7 rebounds. Towns with the dominant 21 and 16 showing. Everybody kind of talked about it. Even Gibson with 15 points. Gorgui off the bench with 14. Pretty much everybody who played a large amount of minutes in this game had a really solid performance, and top to bottom, really great game. Biggest lead, 34 points. The Timberwolves led the entire way, and right away they came out and kind of just knocked them right in the teeth. They had the 36 and the 33-point quarters in the first and the second, and it was curtains at the halftime already for the Pelicans. Mm-hmm. Really impressive performance from the Timberwolves. Do you think that this kind of helps them springboard into this week? We've talked about last week they had a rough slate of games coming up for them, and they needed to win a lot of them to really show where they are and where they've progressed as a team. Do you think this springboards them into this week and in the tough games they have?
So I don't just want to focus on the New Orleans game. One of the stats that came out after the New Orleans game was this is the first time that the Timberwolves have held five straight opponents below 100 points since 2012-13. Even with the two losses in there, this has been a step up on defense for the Wolves. I went and did some looking on NBA.com's stats page to look at where their defensive ratings lined up. They are out of the bottom 10 in defensive rating on the season with how badly they started. And over the last 10 games, they have the sixth best defense in the league, as well as the second best offense.
That's some good stat dives there, David.
So they're they are playing exceptionally good basketball, even though they've lost a couple of games through this. They're coming into this in better form than almost anybody in the league at exactly the right time they need to be. Their defense is trending upward. And they're coming into a game tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers squad that has objectively one of the worst defenses in the league. So this is a winnable game for them. Even though the Cavs are better in the record, they've got LeBron James, which you can't ever really argue with. But this is a winnable matchup for the Minnesota Timberwolves, I think, for the first time since LeBron's return, for sure.
I'm really excited about this Cavaliers game, and I was looking at some stats just to, because I'm trying to talk myself out of a reason to really get excited. I don't want to overhype the Timberwolves in a game. I know they're playing LeBron James, and I still believe LeBron James is the best player in the world in basketball right now. So I'm trying to kind of temper my expectations. And I was looking at some LeBron stats from last season. He had 26 points per game in the two times that he met with the Timberwolves, and he was nearly on a triple-double. He had 13 assists and I believe it was 8 rebounds. And he averaged through those two games, so nearly a triple-double there. He's nearly averaging a triple-double this season. Isaiah Thomas, who should play around 25 to 30 minutes because you saw his minutes uptick in the Orlando Magic game. He averaged 28 points per game against the Timberwolves in the two games that he played them last season. But even with that, those kind of things, the Cavaliers' defense is horrible. Just awful.
They're so bad. Like,
oh my, they are so awful.
They gave up 127 points in regulation to the Orlando Magic in their last outing. The Orlando Magic, who are the third worst offense in the NBA, by the way.
Oh my goodness, they're awful.
It's insane. Like, and it's like LeBron is having an amazing season and probably should and will win the MVP this year. The rest of the Cavaliers are vulnerable, and they've got matchups that they can exploit. Like, it's interesting. Like, I've been going through and reading a couple of previews that I just right before we got on, I read Cavs blog, Fear the Swords preview of tonight's game. They're picking the Wolves to win this game. Like, this is a legitimate real matchup that's going to happen. That should be very fun to watch.
Well, and just to kind of speak volumes about how bad the rest of the roster has been playing, Kevin Love is having a really good season too. Like, they're two kind of main guys, if you're not including Isaiah Thomas, who's still getting back to health. But once he is 100% healthy, I would say that's kind of the three-headed monster that you deal with. But just the two main guys, Kevin Love and LeBron James, are actually playing really well. But if you look at the numbers, just outside of those two guys, not only are you looking for rebounds, but Kevin Love's defense hasn't even been that great, but he's still the second-best defender on this team because Jay Crowder has been playing so awful. And J.R. Smith, I think the 3-and-D role is just dumb for him. I think he's just labeled as a sometimes 3 guy because he's been playing terrible on the defensive side. Tristan Thompson has been in and out of the lineup, and he hasn't been playing great for the last couple seasons, really. Kyle Korver doesn't really get enough time on the floor to get into an offensive rhythm or defensive rhythm. Dwayne Wade's had these stretches where he'll look good for 2 weeks, but then he'll look terrible for a month. Like, they do not have a roster that they can like find defense on. Like, there's not a young guy that's just working on defense on the roster. These are a bunch of guys that you kind of know what you're going to get from them on a night-to-night basis now, and none of it is defense.
Yep, and it's they're kind of like, they have so many interesting similarities to the Timberwolves. Like, they profile very similar. They're teams that are really good on offense and really bad on defense and have to win by outscoring their opponents, and have consistently done that from the start of this year. Cavs are, I think, like one game better on record and have played two games less. And, like, it's hard when you have teams that are that similar in kind of like their statistical profile. You kind of lean to the team who's got the better player when you're picking. At least that's what I think in my head. And then the problem is you have LeBron James. Like, Jimmy Butler's been phenomenal and is legitimately should make the All-Star game probably as a bench player. And it has been starting to get a little bit of buzz as an under-the-radar MVP candidate. LeBron has been playing career best ball. And even though, like, the Wolves can win this game, I'm just so scared of LeBron.
Can I take some credit for the Jimmy Butler under-the-radar MVP candidate? Because I've been talking about that for a couple weeks now. I feel like I should get at least I'll take, like, 20% of the credit. Just 20. That's all I want. We're going to take a quick break.
Take it.
I'll take it. I'll put it on my resume. We're going to take a quick break here, and then we're really going to try and dive into this Cleveland Cavalier matchup before we head out. So, like you're saying, you kind of lean towards the player or the team with the best player on it when it's so evenly matched. So what is it going to take for the Timberwolves to beat the Cavaliers tonight?
It's going to take the thing that's happened every time the Timberwolves have played the Cavaliers in the last 3 years, which is an actual big game from Andrew Wiggins.
Oh, boy. Well,
right?
I get a mixed bag of emotions when you say that.
Because this has always been the thing, right? Even in Wiggins' worst things, he always gets up for the Cavaliers. He always has a big game against them. This has been the arguably the worst stretch of his career. If he and it's I'm sitting on Twitter right here as we're recording this, and it looks like post morning practice media session's been going on. There have been some quotes come out about, like, from the Cavaliers talking about the Wolves, that it's like, if Wiggins is on and his shot is dropping, the Timberwolves offense is almost unstoppable. Like, it totally changes the fact that they've been as good as they've been this season with Wiggins struggling as much as he has for the last month means that if Wiggins ever figures it out, like, they should just be absolutely unreal on offense. And in games in which he does have it going on, they should have a really strong outing. So if Wiggins plays up as he's always done against Cleveland before, that's the key for me, which is really scary, but we've seen it before.
Yeah, over the last three seasons, Andrew Wiggins has averaged 32, 27, and 30 points against the Cleveland Cavaliers. So he, and we've mentioned this a lot, and the people know this, is he's a spotlight guy. He really gets up for the big game, and these games are really important to him. So even in the slump, I feel like he definitely can get up for this game, just because I think there's something going on in between his ears that is kind of affecting how he's played, and has something to do. It plays into this slump along with some other things, but he should be at, his confidence should be at the best it's ever going to be against the Cavaliers, because not only does he like to play Cleveland and he likes to play well against Cleveland, he knows he can. He's done it before. The film is there. He knows he can beat this team, at least be the best player on the floor for stretches of these games. And so that's there. I really like Butler, and every time, really going back to Chicago, every time Butler plays LeBron, those were fantastic matchups and fantastic performances. So for that matchup alone, this game is well worth watching. And I really think one of the underrated matchups is the way that Towns is just going to, like, tar and feather Tristan Thompson in this game, and it's not going to be pretty, and it might be the difference in this one.
I think the more important matchup is Towns and Love, which I suspect we're going to see a lot of, because we'll see how both teams kind of align their defenses to match up against each other. But it looked like the expectation in Cleveland is that Towns and Love might be matched up on both ends of the floor, which, if you go by the stereotypes, they both should be pretty dominating on offense against each other. But with the way Towns has played up on defense lately, I think that Kevin Love might get more than he's expecting if he's matched up against Carl Anthony Towns on defense.
Well, that's what I was just about to say, is that if it's Love, fine. That's fine, because the way Towns has been playing on the glass, basically I would say Boogie Cousins, or at least headed into the season, I would definitely say hands down Boogie is the best center in the NBA. And he went toe-to-toe with Boogie Cousins the other night and had no problem putting up a monster stat line and playing really well on the glass. So if you can play with Boogie Cousins on the glass, I have no problem with him facing up against Love on the defensive side, because right now Towns is hitting a level of basketball that we have not seen him play, because he's never played like this on both ends of the floor before. And so go ahead.
We talked about this on Wolves Wired yesterday. Over the last two or three weeks, Karl-Anthony Towns has played like the best center in the NBA, hands down. And that's what he needs to be. And we've known he's got the potential to do it. And the form he's been in is legitimately better than Cousins, better than Gasol, better than Embiid. This is what the best center in the NBA could look like if he can put this together consistently.
I would even go further. I would say throughout December and into January, the last month and a week, he's been the best center. Even further than the last couple weeks, I would say the performance he put up in December was the best of any center in the NBA through December. So before I gotta head out to class here. So before we head out, just give me, who do you think is gonna win tonight? Give me a score and a prediction of a winner.
I got the Wolves. I've been saying that for about a week. I think Cleveland's in a vulnerable spot, even though I don't trust LeBron not to beat them, and I can very much see that happening. I think the Wolves win this game at home in front of probably their biggest crowd of the year, I would expect. I know a lot of people going to tonight's game. I'm expecting them to pack the house, and hopefully it's going to be a lot of Minnesota fans in there because, let's face it, this team is 25-16. They're on pace to win 50 games this year at the halfway point of the season. People in Minnesota should be excited about this team, and they should be excited to see them go out and maybe beat the best player in the NBA for the first time in a while.
Yeah, I really like the Wolves in this one as well. I think that Tyus Jones can do a good job against Isaiah Thomas as well. So the offense that Isaiah Thomas adds to the Cavaliers, I think Jones can do a fairly good job of taking a lot of it away. And so it'll end up just being Kevin Love and LeBron James against a host of Timberwolves who are really hungry to prove themselves, especially after a little bit of a flat showing in their last major primetime game against the Celtics. So I like the Timberwolves in this one. I would take them at 120 to 115. I think it's going to be very high scoring, and it's going to be tight, obviously, especially with LeBron James in the fourth quarter. I think this is going to be a very tight game till the very end. So definitely watch that tonight. Thank you, David, for coming on. I know we both had to dip out quickly, so that is it for us from Locked On, from the Locked On Network. This has been another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast.